The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Hello and welcome again to God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski. Father Mike McCandless is joining us, who is the vocation director at the seminary. Got quite a job to do out there at the seminary, but is doing a great job out at the seminary because I see some of these younger priests and some of the fellows going out on their year before they become a deacon. And it's just wonderful blessings to the Diocese of Cleveland, I feel. But Father, first of all, welcome.
Oh, happy to be with you, Paul. I appreciate the time here on 1260 with you guys.
What's your background? Where'd you grow up? And
you know, I'm a cradle Catholic and a cradle Northeastern Ohioan. I grew up in Stowe, Ohio. Was born in Akron, Ohio. There's a lot of priests in the diocese that are from the Akron area. I grew up and went to Holy Family Parish in Stowe, was baptized there, went to grade school there for 8 years. My mom and my stepdad and I lived down in Mississippi for a couple of years. But other than that, I've been in the Northeast Ohio area my entire life. So grade school down at Holy Family in Stowe, high school at Archbishop Hoban for 4 years, graduated in 1998, went to the University of Akron for a year for some engineering. Transferred to the seminary. So that educational piece and community piece has really all been local.
Mm-hmm. You had two brothers that also were Hoban.
Yeah, they are. They're both Hoban grads, Andrew and Alex.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
You began in engineering.
I did, yeah.
Had you had an inkling before you went to the University of Akron?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, the chronology of thinking about priesthood and seminary has a lot of starts and stops to it. I think it does for a lot of guys. My experience has been, you know, there's periods of thinking about it, and then we can call it, you know, kind of submerses. It kind of submerses for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has some periods of kind of being thought about back and forth. So when I was probably in late grade school, I began to have some idea of it. I began to serve Mass when I was in fifth grade. I served Mass most every weekend. You know, when I was in seventh, eighth grade, even through most of high school, I served Mass pretty frequently. That was key because it brought me close. Mm-hmm. It brought me close to what was happening, right? At Mass, close to the mysteries of the faith, close to priests.
Sure.
And all that was important. So around that time of late grade school, high school, it came in and out as well, junior year. I'll share a bunch of stories, but it's one of those moments where it went back and forth for a while, you know, in between sports, grades, wanting to be an engineer, wanting to study math and science, doing things at Hoban. Despite the activity, the persistence of God in the midst of extracurriculars or dating or all of those were, you know, God kind of came through over those periods of time.
Mm-hmm. You tell a unique story in one of the pieces that I read about you, about your stepdad being a very key element with you, praying with you and such.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. And just, I think, good for families to think about this. When I was growing up, so we'll say like young, like 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, we would kneel next to my bed and he taught me 5 prayers. So we used to pray an act of contrition, Our Father, Hail Mary, Glory Be, and the prayer to my guardian angel. We prayed that every night. And I got to the point where probably around middle grade school, you know, maybe third, fourth, fifth grade, I just prayed naturally.
Mm-hmm.
It had become a habit. And it became something that I wouldn't have used this wording back then, but I became faithful and dependent on. I just was better in mind and heart when I knew I prayed. So that was key. That was great formation.
Does a vocation begin in the home?
Absolutely. It doesn't have to, right? You know, asking a vocationer to that question, you're going to get a different answer that has a lot of data behind it. We have guys that have come from families that the faith was not important. We have guys who have come from families where they prayed a rosary every, sometimes daily.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the guys in the seminary right now, their families have prayed a rosary daily or at least weekly, you know, and they have multiple ways of having devotion within their lives. But in the end, that domestic church experience brings security, it brings trust, it brings the willingness to see more, because other people are accompanying you towards that direction.
And does the Catholic faith in your family go back farther, grandparents,
oh,
things
sure,
like that?
Sure, yeah. You know, there's in my family especially, it's interesting. So I have three families, right? So my mom's family, my dad's family, my stepdad's family, they're all born and raised Catholic. There is a lot of stories and history of the Catholic Church that goes on all three sides of that, right? You know, when I look back, I could probably point to like my grandfather on my mom's side, you know, both my grandparents on my stepdad's side. You know, I had a great aunt on my mom's side, my Aunt Bernadette, who was just very, she just interceded for me for a long time. And both my grandparents on my dad's side of the family. You know, there's just multiple layers of Catholic influence within my family from all directions.
I've told this story before on the air, but my grandmother was the organist.
Oh,
at our
really?
Parish.
Really? Yeah.
And my grandfather, an usher.
She probably would check if you were singing or not.
What happened was, she was like behind the lattice work right next to the altar. And yeah. I was in the beginning, I'd hear from the behind the organ, "Paulie, ring the bells." Stuff like that.
Would she really?
Move the book.
That's great.
Because you have to move the book from one side to the other back then.
Right.
In the 60s, you know.
That's right.
But she always, "Paulie, why don't you become a priest?" I said, I don't know,
But those are good invitations.
Yeah.
Because they make you sift through things.
I don't think people do that anymore.
I think they do it less, yeah.
Yeah, less. That's a better way to put it.
For sure. But I would say this, you know, it was common for us at one time. We've lost that sense of thinking broadly that the church is also part of the same arena where people can move forward within their life after high school and college. You mm-hmm. know, that kind of service and way of life, we really need that. As you mentioned, you know, is it important for families to see that? Absolutely.
Your mom was a Hoban graduate as well.
She was, yeah, 76.
How about the encouragement you received at Hoban? I read an article that was very important to you.
It was very important. In fact, there's multiple communities of influence. Hoban was certainly near the top. Great story. I was a junior, and Brother Ken Haters was the president at the time. Holy Cross Brothers still is. He's assigned to Notre Dame. And he pulled me. We were just walking through the middle hallway right in front of the office one day. I was moving from class to class.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, "Hey, Michael, come here." He said, "You know, come back to my office for a moment." And I don't know what I've done.
What did I do wrong?
So exactly. You know, it's like, so your heart's pumping a little bit. We sat down in his office. He was just, he's a good man, kind man. He goes, "You know, I really think that you should consider being a Holy Cross brother, or you should consider being a priest, and there's other people here who think the same thing." We sat down, we had an hour conversation in his office. I listened to his vocation story. I listened to what discernment was. I didn't have any idea what it meant.
Mm-hmm.
He gave me a book. I still have that book, by the way. In fact, I just wrote him a card about 6 months ago just to kind of reconnect. But he was one of several people that cracked the conversation open. But they were willing to make the conversation start. I had a great religion teacher, Mary Lou Swinnerton. This is hilarious. I'm a senior at Hoban, right? And, you know, what are my dreams at Hoban? I want to get a good scholarship. I want to play college sports. I want to date a cute girl, you know. And Mary Lou Swinnerton in front
Pretty
of the
normal.
Entire yeah, exactly. You know, and Mary Lou Swinnerton in front of the class goes, "Michael, you need to contact the vocation director for the diocese." She goes, "I will get you that phone number." And I'm like,
that's
oh,
not
boy.
Exactly an invitation. It's more like an order.
Well, she was also one of those ladies. She was just so good at being candid with what she saw.
Uh-huh.
But that candor was, it wins people over, you know, mm-hmm. when people are direct like that. But I ended up visiting the seminary when I was a senior at Hoban, and I liked it. Went to a come and see weekend. Saw many things that were very good. Resisted it, as many of us do. I got to Akron U. I figured that everything just lined up. The stars aligned.
Mm-hmm.
I went there for free. I walked onto the track team. I was a Division I athlete. You know, there was I don't know how many thousands of students on campus every day, but half of them were girls.
Very important.
Most of them are Catholic, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, this is perfect, right?
Father, stay right there. We'll be back and continue that story when we get back on Book on God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski. We're with Father Mike McCandless today, the vocation director at the seminary here in Cleveland. We'll continue talking in just 2 minutes. This is God Calling. Paul Orlowski here with Father Mike McCandless, the vocation director at the seminary here in Cleveland. And Father, so far we have you at the University of Akron, a Division I athlete, and the stars lined up.
The stars were lined up.
So you thought.
So I thought, right? You know, I was about 2 months into that semester, so it was the fall of 1998. Basically, I was sitting doing honors chemistry homework one night. Something finally clicked that I began to ask myself, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this, right? The short of it is that I realized that I was doing it because I wanted to do it. I thought I had to do it. And yet I had looked at what had been happening for years, really, you know, and what had been building in my life. And really what it was, although I wouldn't have used this word at the time, but it was a great interruption from God that was masterfully put together when I was at Hoban, put together in those first few visits to the seminary. The peace and the idea of going to the seminary began to get more space in my heart. And so Christmas break of my freshman year at Akron U, I applied for Borromeo, was accepted, transferred there after my freshman year. And as they say,
here you are.
That's when the real discernment began, you know?
Yeah, well, sure. I read an article that after confession one time, you had a very eye-opening experience. And to use the vernacular, you had a great saying. I don't know if you remember the article, but let's get this party started.
Yeah.
Tell me that story.
Yeah, I'll tell you that story. Every seminarian makes what's called a canonical retreat before you get ordained a deacon, right? It's a mandatory retreat. It's an expectation. And usually what we do is, when I was in the seminary, we made the arrangement to go to a retreat house for usually 8 days. Mm-hmm. And I made an 8-day retreat at a Jesuit retreat house in Warnersville, Pennsylvania, beautiful place. Part of that retreat is making a confession, typically a life confession, general confession. And I was walking outside one of my last nights there. It was a beautiful night. The stars were coming out. It was dusk. And I knew I was on the verge of being ordained a deacon. I knew that there were promises of celibacy, obedience. I knew that my life was going to change. And at the same time, there was just not a sense that this was untested still. It was tested, right? There was discernment that had taken place. And I was walking, and I'm just looking at the stars, and very, very deeply, I believe the Lord said to me, Michael, put all these sins behind you and let's get this party started. I had never heard God speak like that before. Mm-hmm. Just in the presence and in the message. And a couple of things happened. One is that it gave me a new glimpse into who God was in the months and years after as I digested that.
Mm-hmm.
But it also helped me to understand that the invitation of God is it's like an advent. Like we're, you know, there's this sense of I'm coming to you anew. And my relationship with God changed after that. I really believe that he had called me to be a priest and to begin that with diaconate. It was a great moment where I believe God was helping me, beckoning me into more.
Mm-hmm. He speaks the vernacular.
He does speak the vernacular.
This party started.
I took that to my spiritual director, and he looks at me, and he kind of turns his head, and he goes, "That's very much like God."
Really?
God, you know, it's interesting. Yeah, you know, God. It's like the prodigal son who comes back, right? What does the father want to do? The father wants to host a party for the son, and the celebration, the festivity of God is probably something we don't notice as much. But over the years, I began to realize that's very much God's character.
The confession was very important. Do people today, even the young men that come to you, do they take confession as seriously as?
I think that there are young men and young women that do take confession seriously. I think some have made it a regular part of their life. I think those that do find a far greater understanding of what transformation is, and they find much relief in the area of guilt or shame. A lot of guys like to make confessions. I try not to be a regular confessor because that changes my relationship with a discerner. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those where I really encourage that to happen within the young people, high schools especially. I had some great confessions in high school, and certainly that one from retreat too.
Yeah, the growing trend is, well, why do I need this guy in the middle, this priest?
Right.
I can talk right to God, but right. You have training in these areas. It's
correct.
In some ways counseling and cleansing and so many other things, I think.
Yeah, I think the priest becomes, as it says in the rite, the priest becomes one of the voices of pastoral change. We offer direction so as to help change. I think it's key for people to have a thorough confession when it's fitting, you know, to do that, like on a retreat, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Father, stay with us. We're going to be back. Let's talk about the seminary today and the young men that are coming and your task is when we come back on God Calling. Stay with us. Welcome back. This is Paul Orlowski with Father Mike McCandless, the vocation director at the seminary here in Cleveland. Father, tell me about the young men that are approaching or at least putting their toe in the water as far as...
We have over 50 young guys at the seminary that are studying for the Diocese of Cleveland. Right now, we've had a wonderful vocation culture for a long time in Cleveland, really mm-hmm. since the start. We have always had an ordination since early within the history of the diocese. We've had an ordination every year. I mean, since probably around 1850 or plus or minus around
there. A reason for that? Because of the ethnicity, maybe? Or?
I think it is the faith of the culture, the faith of the families. I personally think that the family faith formation in the Diocese of Cleveland is the bedrock of vocations. That's where things come from. That's where they rise from in the ground. The guys at the seminary right now, they're so good. You know, we're going through renovation right now. The guys they're transitioning well. They're joyful. They're good, resilient guys. I heard this rector say one time, there's two things we look for at the seminary. You know, there's prayer and there's laughter. And if you have both of those, you typically have a pretty healthy group of guys. Cleveland has got a lot of prayer and a lot of laughter,
mm-hmm.
and they know how to do both really well.
There are challenges. Obviously, it's mm-hmm. a rigorous course. Talked about dating, and that's not going to happen anymore. You have stories about that.
Yeah, you know, in my own life, the idea of going to the seminary meant the death of other things, right?
Mm-hmm.
In some respects, you don't plan to go to the seminary just for 6 months. You know, you go for a year, probably more,
mm-hmm.
and the Lord brings you through a process that you can't control, possibly towards priesthood, possibly out of the seminary. So, you know, in my own life, I was dating a great girl my senior year. She was from St. Vincent St. Mary High School. I went to Hoban. That was interesting. But, you know, we were out on a date one night. We went and we had dinner. She's sitting in the passenger seat of my car. We're talking about next year. And she goes, Michael, what are you doing next year? It's what you ask a senior in high school. What are you really doing next year?
Mm-hmm.
And I had this moment where my heart just, I wanted to be very direct. And I
sure.
was, I just wanted to be. And I said to her, you know, you're going off to Cincinnati next year. I'm not going to Cincinnati next year. I might go to the University of Akron. I might study engineering. And then I just said, you know, but I think one day I'll need to be a Catholic priest. And she looked at me and she sincerely said, I can see that.
No kidding.
Yeah. So, you know, and for me, like the sports, the scholarships, dating a cute girl, like I thought, what could be better?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's funny about that moment is that she was great. She was just a great companion. But it was one of those moments where I had finally noticed that God was speaking louder and God was speaking more deeply in a way that I had to pay attention. So that was, you know, the dating piece is important. Really, I want to put this just really clear. You know, going to the seminary is not loneliness. Going to the seminary does not mean that you have to, like, cut part of the humanity of your heart out.
Mm-hmm.
Going to the seminary is learning how to love a family and learning how to love the church in her living identity of the people around you. And what that means is that you become ecclesially oriented. You know, you give your heart, your mind, your blood, sweat, and tears for the people who are in the pews, for the people at the parishes, for the people who are in our communities. Celibacy is not the absence of something. It's the choice of marriage to the body of Christ. And that's very key because when a young man comes in, he has fears that, will I be fulfilled? Will I be lonely? Will I have all of my desires met, right? And I just remember Thérèse of Lisieux, who wrote in her journal, how could God, who is the author of such wonderful and wild desires, offer us those and then not fulfill them? And she's so right. You know, here's this Carmelite French young woman
mm-hmm.
who has the wildest desires of her heart met by God by the time her life is over with, which was a short life. So, you know, when you talk to guys and ladies who are considering, the key thing is the Lord has made you made for, he's made you for other people, made for communion, made to be passionately alive and giving. And you will build all of that and receive all of that in the way that he wants you to.
Do you hear guys say, oh, I can do that? You know, when they're right at the beginning, and then it's a lot more than saying, yeah, I can do that.
Yeah, there's rarely bravado when guys are coming into there's rarely false pride when guys are coming in. Most of the time, guys are like, well, I hope I can handle this. I think that what happens with when guys are discerning, they become aware of several things. This is a pretty consistent pattern. One is that the work of formation is really hard because it's personal transformation. It's really human transformation. And that doesn't happen. Like, you know, it happens over time and through stages of instability. The second piece is that they understand a lot more about marriage, and they understand a lot more about celibacy, and they understand that the depths of marriage and the cost of marriage and the depths and cost of celibacy are very similar. Mm-hmm. Because it requires you to be attentive to a spouse and to be pouring yourself out. There's oftentimes a slow growth. There's a growth of the heart, mind, and body. There's certainly intellectual growth, and that kind of begins to be like the first thing guys pay attention to. But that spiritual, spousal, communal growth, when it happens over time, and it does, especially for the guys heading into diaconate, they're different men. As so many parishioners have seen in Cleveland, they're different men. They've become a new man.
Is that the idea behind sending them out for a year to a parish? Because
they see
it up close and personal.
Bingo. Yeah. So a lot of dioceses have what's called the pastoral internship year. We have that. Father Turner, Father Lakovich, those are the two priests that kind of oversee that. Father Turner especially, who's head of field ed. And the practical purpose is this. You want to see marriage preps. You want to see what a grade school looks like. You want to see the process of working with a parish. It just not only gives the practicals, but here's the thing. Your prayer and your discernment now have places of imagination. They now have places where you can grasp onto, well, this is what I've seen. How does this sit within my heart? And you can sift that. And so the pastoral internship year does add a year onto the formation process, but guys would probably on the whole say it's a pretty invaluable year.
We hear it all the time. Pray for priests. Pray for vocations. Pray for priests. Very important. Yeah.
Very key. Let me try to put this in a nutshell. A priest or a seminarian or a religious is bound to the church. The church community, especially in the faces and the hearts of the people around, have a spousal connection to their priests, whether they know it or not. So intercession, time for conversation, not just doing something, but sharing community, sharing liturgy, sharing prayer. It's important so that it builds the bond mm-hmm. of the local church. So we need to be formed to want that, and the church hopefully responds back and invites us into it more.
There's a group at most every parish, the Avilas.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Who pray for priests. Yeah,
they
so
do.
Encourage people. If someone's interested in a vocation, how can they contact you, Father?
Yeah, the best way is we can email, you can call the seminary, you can reach out to your local pastor or a local priest, you can reach out to one of the faithful, high school teachers, campus ministers, youth ministers. So I'm connected to all the high schools, most every one of the colleges. So there's people that will help direct them to direct discerners towards the vocation office. My office number for contacting me is 440-943-7660. Or you can contact me at mmccandless@dioceseofcleveland.org. But I take, you know, calls and emails and
sure.
mostly contacts from people in the diocese, because that's where most of the inquiries come in.
Very good. Father Mike McCandless, our guest, if you're interested. Give him a call or email or just call the seminary. They'd be happy to talk to you. Father, thanks so much. This
Good
is Paul Orlowski. I hope you'll tune in next week, same time, here on God Calling.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations, from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. Join us next week for another episode, and if you missed any part of this week's program, visit our website at am1260therock.com and click on the Archive Audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.